future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. We'll scratch that. We're coming live from Wapping. The time now here in London is 9 minutes past 10. And of course, we have to execute our podcast like we do each and every day. So let's get down to business and let's talk about what's been going down in the last 24 hours. So we had retail giant Target is quietly working on a blockchain for supply chains. We're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be discussing that Bitcoin users have just performed what might be the largest coin join ever. Now, if you're a bit confused by what that means, we're going to go into further detail on what this means for the Bitcoin network. And we're also going to be discussing multi-party computation cryptocurrency security, the MPC. And we're going to go through, we're going to explain it, and hopefully you're up to speed of how to secure your crypto and the best way to do so as well. So listen, with that in mind, let's just jump into it and let's get down to business. All right. So with that in mind, let's get into it. So let's kick things off by talking about retail giant Target and the fact they're quietly working on a blockchain for supply chains. Surprise, surprise. So retail giant Target has quietly entered the blockchain space. Since mid-2018, the Moniesta-based retailer has been working on a blockchain-powered solution for supply chain management, dubbed ConsenSource. More recently, it has pledged to support the Hyperledger Grid project, a supply chain framework that earlier saw participation from food giant Cargill. One of Target's suppliers, together with a tech giant Intel and blockchain startup Bitwise.io. To boost its distributed ledger technology-related work, Target is now looking for a blockchain engineer and systems developer, according to the company's career page. The new engineer will be contributing to the recently open-source ConsenSource and to Hyperledger Grid, developing distributed ledger systems, protocols, smart contracts, CLIs, and RESTful APIs in an open-source environment, the job posting says. I'm proud that Target will support the Hyperledger Grid project, and we're committing dedicated engineering resources to build out components in the grid's architecture, Joe Crabb, Target's Vice President of Architecture, wrote in a little notice posted on the corporate blog. The ConsenSource project, which targeted recently open source, was primarily focused on the certification of suppliers of the company's own paper manufacturing. Target has been working directly with the forest managers and certification boards, studying the technology and trying to figure out what data can be shared on a distributed ledger, Crabb wrote. The exploration led to Target to recognize the benefits of an open source project and supporting some. The blog reads, many companies, including Target, see the most potential of enterprise blockchain initiatives as open source. More open source projects require all participating parties to define the governance model collectively from the outset, so companies then can focus their long time working on blockchain-based solutions that will lead to greater speed, transparency, and cost savings. So, until now, Target has largely flown under the radar of its blockchain initiatives. The company hired Arif Sirivan, who previously worked at JP Morgan and IBM, as its director of product management for personalization, machine learning, and blockchain in 2016. In December 2018, media sources learned from a source within Hyperledger that Target, the eighth largest retailer in the US, had been working on a supply chain product under the umbrella of an open source Hyperledger consortium. The open source, well, the source itself, who did not want to be identified, said Target would join the Sawtooth supply chain project, which is developing a distributed application to track the provenance of food and other assets using the Sawtooth implementation of Hyperledger. Emily Fisher, a spokesperson for the Linux Foundation, which oversees Hyperledger, said Monday, Target have made code contributions, but is not a member of Hyperledger. While it is still in the development phase and far from reaching production, the Sawtooth project has been a hotbed of coding activity, with more than 5,000 commits from 46 contributors on GitHub, according to the ConsenSource GitHub repository. The project uses the Sawtooth code. Among Target's notable moves has been incorporating identity verification technology from another Hyperledger project called Indy. Cargill, the food production giant, also known to be involved in the supply chain project. The Sawtooth codebase which was contributed to Hyperledger by Intel, is the main alternative to Fabric, the best known Hyperledger implementation developed by IBM. Fabric is already being used in food tracking on a network called Food Trust, a project spearheaded by IBM and Target's big box rival, Walmart. Now, this is really interesting. We've said this many, many times. What we're going to see first is enterprises looking to adopt blockchain. They're going to look to adopt a private chain. The reason why? Because they don't understand the benefits fully of blockchain. And they don't understand that the open source blockchain itself, whichever one they choose to go with compared to the private network, is going to have more innovation. It's going to have more adoption. It's going to have more cool features built into it. It's going to make it easier for them to implement that into their systems. And after they've understood the private blockchain model, they're going to want to move to the open source blockchain model itself and embed into that and open source their technology. And this is what's happening here with Target. So this is really positive to see. I believe my prediction is we're going to see more and more of this breaking through and happening as well. All right. So on another note, 100 Bitcoin users perform what might be the largest CoinJoin transaction ever. So the community behind the privacy-centric Bitcoin app Wasabi Wallet recently brought together 100 people to collectively execute a CoinJoin transaction in Bitcoin in what might be the biggest event of its kind. Some context. Bitcoin itself is far from private, as users can, via the blockchain, see where coins are being transferred to and from. One effort to afford greater privacy to transactions is CoinJoin, a long-standing technology first proposed in 2013 by the longtime Bitcoin idea man and cryptographer Greg Maxwell. The idea itself is that transactions can be made more private by jumbling a number of different transactions together and then redistributing them. At 100 transactions, Wasabi's wallet might be the biggest, but it's certainly an advancement for the privacy tech as a whole. There wasn't any service created to do such large coin joins, ZK Snark CTO Adam Frisco told media sources, which launched Wasabi Wallet last year. To make coin join transactions easier to use, Frisco did add one small caveat that it is possible, and that blockchain shared coin has done one as large, but I'm not sure if it's as relevant. As Frisco explained to media sources, the event represented the largest practical coin join that can be done on the Bitcoin network. That's because some of the built-in restrictions on the Bitcoin network, such as the limit of the amount of data that can be included in a single transaction block, as well as the human practicalities of getting so many people to transact together at once. The third caveat is that it's pretty damn hard to coordinate 100 people over the Tor network, Frisco remarked. And indeed, the transaction took a while to execute. Partially on the Wasabi Wallet Reddit, the community tried unsuccessfully for a while to organize a 100-person coin join, getting 94, 97, 92, and even 99 participants before reaching their goal of 100. Going further, Frisco hopes the large coin join transaction offers a showcase of the norm Bitcoin's use in the future. In short, the more transactions in a coin join, the more privacy you get, because with one user, it becomes harder to untangle all the transactions that initially went in. However, anonymity loves company. The more participants there are, the better your privacy is, and the faster the coin join rounds are, the Wasabi Wallet website explains. Getting 100 people together for transaction might seem like an overkill, but Frisco sees it as the future because more transactions in one, the more efficient it is. So this is really interesting. You know, Will the future look like 100 people in a room trying to transact at the same time or around the world on a dial-in phone that they can all do it at the same time? I'm not too sure, but I think it's really interesting to see the Bitcoin blockchain being pushed, being new things being tried within the network itself by the community. And I think that's what it's all about. And this is so key and so important, because once again, it's just learning more about this great technology that we have. We were gifted Bitcoin. And you have to remember that, because it was open source. We have no idea who created it. Well, there's many different opinions and rumors out there, but nothing factually stated. So we're in a position now where we have to try it. We have to learn new things. How do we protect ourselves using the Bitcoin blockchain? Is the coin join, you know, a sustainable method? Probably not, but it's interesting to learn about these things, to learn more about the network itself. So we want to move on now to Another topic. We're going to be talking about multi-party computational cryptocurrency security. Now, there's a lot of big words there, so we're going to break it down. Any further questions you may have, I'll give you my email at the end. More than happy to answer any questions. So, let's talk about this. Advances in cryptography are converging to help developers bring blockchain applications closer to the core decentralizing principles on which this technology is founded. Inventions such as atomic swaps, ZK snarks, and lightning-based smart contracts are allowing developers to realize the dream of true peer-to-peer transactions in which neither party nor an outside intermediary can act maliciously. Witness the rising number of non-custodial and decentralized exchanges, DEXs, services for trading crypto assets. So this is really exciting. But, you know, it also shines light on another big problem that has curtailed the widespread adoption of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology, secure key management. Far too long, the most reliable means of protecting your private keys that offered the holder control over an underlying crypto asset have been too clunky, insufficiently versatile, or difficult to implement on scale. User experience has been sacrificed in return for security. Now, some big strides in another hugely important field of cryptography, secure multi-party computation, or MPC, point to a potential holy grail situation of both usability and security in a decentralized system. Progress in this field was marked last week by Tel Aviv-based Zedkenz's public announcement of the specs for its Zengo wallet. Zengo uses MPC along with other sophisticated cryptographic tools such as zero-knowledge proofs and threshold cryptography to share signing responsibilities for a particular cryptocurrency address among a number of otherwise non-trusting entities. The beauty of the KZen model is that security is no longer a function, and that's the true beauty of this, of one or more entities maintaining total control over a distinct private key of their own. Now, the core point of vulnerability in cryptocurrency management until now, instead, the key is collectively derived from individual fragments which are separately generated from multiple non-trusting computers. So the model draws on the genius of MPC cryptography. With this approach, multi non-trusting computers can each conduct computation on their own unique fragments of a larger data set to collectively produce a desired common outcome without any one node knowing the details of another's fragments. Now that's really key. The private key that executes the transaction is thus a collectively generated value. At no point is a single vulnerable computer responsible for an actual key itself. KZen's site includes a useful explainer on how this all works if you're looking for more information on that. So KZen is not only the provider of the MPC solutions for blockchain key management. Unbound, another Israeli company, is going after the enterprise marketplace with its MPC solutions for crypto security. Unbound's prolific, if blatantly pro-MPC blog offers different angles on the same argument. It makes a repeated case for why MPC is superior to the two preferred approaches to crypto security of the moment, hardware security modules, HSM, on which hardware wallets like Ledger and Trezor are built, and multi-signet technologies, which are favored by exchanges. Now, this is a big if, but if KZen and Unbound are to be believed, MPC solutions resolve both the hot versus cold trade-off in key management and the dilemma of self versus managed custody. Cold wallets in which keys are stored in an entirely offline environment out of attackers' reach are quite secure, so long as they remain in that offline state, though you really don't want to lose that piece of paper on which you printed out your private key itself. So, but bringing them into transactable online environments poses an overly cumbersome challenge when you want to use those keys to send crypto or, you know, whatever you want to send tokens. That's perhaps not a problem if you're just a hodler who transacts rarely, but a serious limitation to blockchain technology prospects for transforming overall global commerce. On the other hand, hot wallets have until now been notoriously vulnerable. Whether it's the relentless SIM jack attacks on people's phones that that are emptying out both hosted third-party custodial wallets and on-phone self-custody holdings. Retail participants' horror stories are, of course, happening around the world. And of course, we all know the stories of custodial exchanges being hacked from Japan to Hong Kong to Canada to Malta. At the same time, the solution that regulated institutional investors are currently seeking, that custodians and exchanges built Fort Knox-like military-grade custody solutions, inherently contain a compromise. Now, not only does this approach fail to resolve the dependency on a third party, but there are serious doubts about whether any such solution can be forever safe from hackers, now, who are constantly improving their methods for getting over firewalls. In best-case scenarios, the constant IT upgrades become a massive money suck. Now, none of this is to say that existing security technologies are useless. Ledger and Trezor's hardware devices, a more nimble form of cold wallet, are widely used by individuals who are uncomfortable with both external third-party custody and online on-device self-custody wallets. And separately, multi-signature, multi-sig solutions in which an M of N quorum of keys are required to execute a transaction. Now, that transaction have proven robust enough to be used by most exchanges, but in both cases, vulnerabilities have been exposed, and to a larger extent, those risks have come to the fact that regardless of the surrounding security model's sophistication, the all-important keys are always sitting at single points of failure. Now, that's a really important point to note. Just last week, researchers demonstrated how they could hack into a remote hardware security model. The irony, the researchers were from Ledger, which relies on HSM to secure its customer keys. Multi-sig models arguably offer protections across such attacks because a breach requires simultaneous control of more than one key held in separate locations. But the fact is that multi-sig solutions have also failed because of both technical and human vulnerabilities inside jobs. What's more, both solutions are inherently limited by the need to customize their particular specifications of or ledger. Crypto developer Christian Allen pointed out last week, for example, that HSMs are particularly constrained by the fact that they are defined by government standards. And in each case, the ledger-specific design of the underlying cryptography means there is no support for the kind of multi-sig wallets that will be needed for decentralized interoperability of world cross-chain transactions. So this itself presents a challenge and an opportunity. To be sure, MPC remains an unproven in a practical sense. For some time, the heavy resource or resources needed to carry out these network computing functions made it a challenging, costly concept to bring into real-world environments. But rapidly technical improvements in recent years have made this sophisticated technology a viable option for all kinds of distributed computing environments where trust is an issue. And its key management isn't its only application for blockchains either. So what is the other one? MPC technology plays a vital role in MIT-founded startup Enigma's work on secret contracts. As part of its sweeping plan to build the privacy layer for the decentralized web. An inside Enigma CEO and founder, Guy Zinkind, is also an Israeli. Israel has fostered a remarkable contraception of cryptographic expertise in the space. Excuse my pronunciation there. It would be an unwise to assume that MPC or any technology for that matter will provide a perfect, totally infallible solution to security problems. It is always true that the biggest security threat comes from when human beings complacently believe security is not a threat. However, if you squint hard enough and you think about this technology's prospect for better key management can be married to Enigma's vision for the MPC-based secret contract layer and to the broader march toward decentralization, interoperability, and interoperable asset exchanges, compelling vision of true peer-to-peer blockchain-based commerce starts to emerge. At the very least, you need to watch this space. So listen, with that in mind, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time, your attention as always. Feel free to tweet us at @SVK_crypto. Hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. By the way, if you're in London, on June 18th, we have an event going down here in London town. That's right. Let me give you a bit of information about the event. It's called, to kick things off, The Future of Blockchain. This is going to be held at WeWork Bishopsgate. It's going to be an evening event from 6 till 8 in the evening on June 18th. So let me give you a bit of a flavor for who's going to be there and who's going to be speaking there. We're going to have a panel titled The Future of Decentralized Gaming. We're going to have John Knight, who's the VP of Partnerships at Block V. Ruby Young, CEO of Animoca Brands, a really exciting game studio in the space that's doing big things. They did a game recently, I believe, with F1, and they had the non-fungible token on there that we spoke a couple of weeks back that sold over for $100,000. Paul Collins, CEO of StickSports. StickSports, I'm sure you've played it at some stage. If you have, Paul is the guy who made that happen. A London-based game studio. Really exciting what they're doing in the space. We're going to have those guys. James McQuillan, journalist for Blockchain Gamer. If you've been reading anything about blockchain and gaming together, chances are you've come across some of James's work online. Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto. Oliver Mayer, one of the blockchain analysts at SVK Crypto. We also have a Women in Blockchain panel where we have Jess Holgrave, Tiana Baker Taylor, and two more to be announced very, very shortly, which is going to be really, really exciting. So if you want more information of that, go to our Telegram page, SVK Crowd, or if you don't have Telegram, email myself, cstory, cstorry, at svkcrypto.com. With that in mind, that's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.